The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Loveline. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, we've seen that man there, Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Mike Catherwood, you go crazy.
Showtime!
This is Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
This is Loveline.
Loveline with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood.
Yes, it is Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Mike Catherwood here in mere moments. This is Dr. Drew, and you live.
Who's your daddy, bitch? Oh, you live. You live. Yes!
That's right, it's Loveline. Tomorrow night, Darren Cavanocchi comes in here. He is an attorney, and we'll be dedicating Loveline to legalities and love, as well as allowing you to answer his questions, or he'll answer your questions during the open forum. And tonight's open forum, and do you see an open forum up there? Oh, we were going to do the mishaps. Was that what it was? Or, I can't hear you. Confession? No, no, not confessions. No, no, no. Oh, have you ever had sex with a celebrity? Sex with a celebrity. That's what it was. Sex with a celebrity. That will be the open forum tonight. 1-800-LOVE-191. We are goofing around here with our phone system, which I think is working tonight. Anderson, can you? Yep, it seems working tonight. LOVE-191. The problem is our screening system isn't working. So can I just go to the phones over here?
If you want to remind yourself as well as the listeners why we pay a screener every night,
we'll
sure.
We'll find out. Now.
Let me make sure that my delay is working.
Why don't you go screen? I just want you bring in pieces of paper or something because our computer system isn't working. And,
well, it's code encrypted, and Mike is the only one with the numbers, and he's not here.
It's awesome.
Good system.
Here we go. Hey, you're live on Loveline. What's going on?
What's up?
Hey, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, guys. I just have a question really quick.
Yep.
I've been dating this girl. I did date this girl for about 2 years. We broke up about a year ago, but we still keep in contact.
How old are you?
I'm 20 years old.
Okay, and?
I'm just wondering if I should still keep in touch with this girl or if I'm just wasting my time. Because
well, if you think you're getting back together, you're wasting your time, it sounds like. Right? And you can always ask her. You can sort of lay down the gauntlet and say, you know, is there ever going to be anything here? And ask her to be honest. Don't be sort of weirdly threatening and overly dramatic about it. But it sounds like once you get into friend zone, that's where you're going to stay. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
I think it's okay. It's all right. It's great that you're keeping contact, but it's time to move along. Move along. Speaking of moving along, what's going on here, Mike?
Sorry.
Hey, what's fine? What's going on? You're live on the air. Hey there.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good. What's going on?
Awesome, awesome. Y'all live. Do appreciate the call.
You live.
Long time, first time.
Yeah.
Thank you. Awesome, guys. So, listen, really quick, keep it short and brief. I'm actually 35. My girl and I have a daughter. She's 18. She is addicted actually to crack and marijuana.
Oh my goodness.
She's alcoholic also, just discovered, and she's kind of just private all to herself. She's like, you know, good grades and everything with us. She actually graduated with 3.8 GPA, and here she is addicted to all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She even had an internship recently at a Kaiser, but anyhow. Mm-hmm. Just want to know at this point how to help her and
she needs to go away for treatment. She needs to go away.
Go away.
Yeah. She needs to be, if she has, you know, a lot of these longer term, more comprehensive treatment programs aren't really covered by insurance. But yeah, she needs a good program and she needs to stay there for an extended period of time and focus on her recovery.
Well, what part of the country are you in?
So definitely an inpatient.
Oh, yeah.
Actually here in SoCal in Cucamonga. So
yeah, dude, you, I mean,
with you guys here.
There's a place called Northbound out in sort of Costa Mesa that's pretty good. A lot of young people at that program.
It's, it's an unfortunate side effect, but a positive side effect of there being so many drug addicts and alcoholics in Southern California. But it's there's so much good recovery here. Mm-hmm. There's just so much. And, yeah, man, there's no simple way around this. Drew's exactly right. She's got to go away in for a while.
Sooner the better.
Okay, definitely.
All right.
Thank you, guys. Northbound. Do appreciate
look
it. Y'all live.
Look at you live. Look at Northbound. It's a good program.
Okay. All right.
All right, man. Good luck, man. Much love. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry.
I figured you're stuck at the gate.
No. Just one of those, like, oh, my God, it's 9:45.
Yeah.
And I just, like, ran and got in my car. So I totally apologize.
That's right.
One of the weirdest things happened last night. I think we have to talk about it on the show.
Last night?
Here with our guest and
Samantha.
Our women, the lady that was with the guests?
Cheryl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was so strange for me.
What happened?
Well, I walked in and Ann's like, we got to talk about this with Ann. We have to have Ann on the air.
All right. But we had such a crazy show on HLN today.
Nuts.
I figured that's what sent you out.
Yeah, I know.
Really?
I drove away. I just drove away on a long journey.
Wake up in Santa Barbara.
Hello, Jade.
Cade.
Oh, sorry, Cade. Hello, Cade.
Hey, just a quick question for you. I've always had a high sex drive, and my wife not so much. And then just within the past couple months, it flipped where she wants sex all the time. And now all of a sudden, I don't want it as much.
Did she just have something happen to her? Like, just have give birth or
take a medication?
Yeah.
No. Actually, yeah, she did. She's been seeing a therapist, and she did take some medication because she does have not bipolar.
Tripolar.
Well, anyway, she sounds like she's having some sort of reaction. And that's okay. I mean, she maybe get a little manicky or something, but okay.
Yeah, but in the description it says that it may lower her sex drive, but it's done the complete opposite.
Well, if you're bipolar or depressed and you go on an antidepressant, it can make you manic. And if you get manic, then it will actually increase your sex drive.
Can it make you Hispanic?
No, not Hispanic.
That would be crazy.
Yeah. That would be crazy. And of course, psychologically or sort of interpersonally, you've now sort of changed your dynamic so substantially, it gets weird for you. You didn't sort of creep up on you. It wasn't a slow evolution. It's boom, all of a sudden. And that can be uncomfortable. So it's understandable you'd be a little bit weirded out.
Well, I think I also kind of like the chase, kind of.
Right. I understand.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, tell her that and see if you can kind of adjust how you guys approach your relationship, okay?
Okay. Awesome. Right. Thank you guys. Okay. And you guys live.
You live. Okay, Mike, here's Ann.
So last night, our guest came in with, like, someone, I guess, in publicity or something?
Yeah, publicist.
Okay.
Oh, hang on.
And,
got to get Ann online here.
And you guys were chit-chatting, all of you. You, Drew, Ann, and
the publicist.
And they walk in and they look at me, and it was, I knew immediately, like, oh, this person, I probably know this person, or they probably know me. And Ann's like, hey, Mike, it's so-and-so. I have no idea what's going on. And, like, this person very clearly knows who I am and starts naming, like, projects we've worked on together. I'm still hugging and having a conversation with, to me,
a stranger.
An utter stranger.
Didn't she say that it was
actually mentioned her to me.
I have?
That's why I looked at you and I said, you know her? And you were like, nope.
No, and again, I know this is all my fault. I know, but you're
she
right.
She was mentioning, though, somebody that worked with her that ended up working with you in some other project,
yeah,
mostly.
Yeah, all strangers to me.
So those names, you made it sound like you really did know her.
Well, of course, because I didn't want
to
look like a giant dick.
You did a good job.
I know. It was one of the weirdest experiences for me ever because I was like, am I better off being honest?
No, you know what this means to me? You know what it means to me, Ann? Mike, welcome to adulthood. When you're doing 50 different things in 50 different spheres, and your memory's not as good as it was when you're 18, and you don't you run into people, you don't know who the hell or how the hell.
No, I've been doing that.
But here's the thing.
I've been doing that since I was 13, where people will be like, you just introduced me.
No, but that's because you were wasted and can't remember.
No. Even, like, I've always been, like, whatever happens to me, even 5 minutes before, it's gone.
Okay. Right.
But, like, that last night was, like, a next level thing, where it was, like, everyone in the room was like, Mike, what's wrong with
you? Well, Ann seemed to.
Like, the whole world looked at me and is like, of course.
I didn't do that.
And it was such a weird feeling. I've never felt like that.
No, but only because you've mentioned her to me before. It never occurred to me that you wouldn't remember.
I didn't bang her, did I?
No.
Okay, good.
Oh, well.
And it's also. No.
Hey, guys.
Yes. Yeah.
All of this is not nearly as strange as what I saw when I was leaving last night.
Uh-oh.
What?
Michael Cathwood sits next to me.
Yeah.
He was walking out of the front gate here, walking towards the bus stop, no shoes, no socks, on his phone, leaving his car. And I'm like, hey, dude, you all right? Where are you going? He's like, yeah, I'm all right. Turns his back, gets on his phone, and starts walking down Venice Boulevard.
Yeah. I got an Uber. I got an Uber from work last night.
That's much stranger.
That truly did happen.
What were you doing? Why no shoes, no socks? What's going on with you?
I might probably had no socks on because I was wearing flip-flops, but I didn't have shoes on. That's true. but I turned in a car today that K-Rock the flagship station for Loveline gave me a car for an ad campaign.
I see.
I was turning it back in today. So I dropped my Cadillac off here last night so that when I dropped off the Mini, which they gave me, I would have my car here to then go about my business.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
I'm like, do you need a ride? You good? And he just turns his back and walks away.
Well, it's like when I saw David Arquette walking away from a... You know, David Arquette, I ran into him out on Washington Boulevard, just walking. You know about this? You didn't know?
No.
Oh, I didn't tell you this? So he was guest on the show, and he's his usual great self. And I'm driving out, and there's this guy. It's the middle of the night walking down Washington
and
on his cell phone.
There's nothing out there except for abandoned buildings.
No, and I thought, what is it? How weird. The guy looks just like David Arquette, because David Arquette was just on the show. Funny, we're out, a homeless guy on the street looks like David Arquette. And I was like, oh, my God, it's David. I put him in my car. I took him to his house.
You pulled over and you're like, David, what are you doing? Where are you going? He's like, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know where I'm going, man.
This is taxis, man. This is taxis. I don't live too far from here. I go, where do you live? Hancock Park. I'm like, dude, I'm taking you home. Let's get out of here. Come on.
Was this using David days?
No.
Really? This is like 6 months ago.
Yeah, it was quite sober, David.
Fantastic.
And it was wonderful. I had a nice conversation with him and took him
great
home.
Guy.
Yeah,
really.
And it wasn't that far out of my way. I don't give a crap. I wish he'd asked me earlier. I felt bad that he didn't think to ask for a ride.
I would have given you
a ride last night. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I appreciate it. And the only reason I was so aloof is because I was on the phone with Uber as you were trying to talk to me. So, hello, Ariel.
Hi. You guys live, first of all.
You live.
And second, okay, so I have my ex-boyfriend, we recently broke up, but before, the last time we had sex, he couldn't finish, and he's newly sober. He has about, like, four and a half months, and he blamed not being able to finish on, like, the medication that they gave him in detox he's still taking. So, like, I've been wondering, like, okay, like, is it...
Whoa, he's taking Suboxone.
Yeah, when you say he's in recovery, is he in detox or is he in recovery?
No, he's in recovery, but he said that he was still taking the meds that they had given him in detox.
So he's still detoxing.
Yeah, so he's either A, using, or he's on replacement therapy.
What's he taking?
What is this medication?
Suboxone.
I forgot what it was called, but it starts with an N.
Neurontin?
Naltrexone?
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's telling the truth. I mean, the drugs.
Naltrexone would be good if he's on that, because that's just strictly an opiate blocking agent. And it can mess through the sex drive a little bit.
Well, no, but my point being is that he's not making that up. The drugs you take, and even just being in newly sober makes you have a hard time sexually.
Yep. Absolutely. Patient.
That's no BS. You're going through a whole rigmarole in your brain and in your heart when it comes to trying to stay off drugs, especially if you've been using for a long time, especially if you've been using the right type of drugs. If he was a pain pill addict or
was on heroin.
Yeah. So he's having a really hard time with his boner, and he's not just saying that.
Okay. Sweet. Thanks, guys.
All right. Good luck. And, you know, God bless you for being patient. He's going through a lot. So.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Later tonight, if you've had sex with a celebrity, we want to hear about it. That is our open forum this evening. It is, without question, one of our favorite open forums.
Oh, yes.
And it's not, look, we're not here to, like,
we're here to hear about Michael Caine.
Or no, and we're not saying call up and say, oh, I had sex with a celebrity, let's make fun of he or she.
No.
It's more just like...
the novelty.
Yeah. And, like, we all love it. Don't pretend like you're above it. It's hysterical. And
celebrities have sex. Oh, my God.
I highly encourage any of you, even though I'm not really a celebrity, I highly encourage anyone who's had sex with me to call the show.
How about twice
it's happened.
Now, wait a minute.
Yes.
You told me the woman that you reintroduced yourself to after 3 days of romantic involvement.
Yeah.
Because you'd forgotten, blacked out the entire time.
Correct.
We got to get her to call.
I can't promise that'll happen tonight, but I will work on it. She and I are still friends on Facebook.
Okay.
She's a great gal. Uh-huh. She's really nice. Never mind. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
Loveline.
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
This is Dr. Drew for True Car. Everyone is talking about transparency these days, a word you hear a lot, because people want it. So when it comes to making a big purchase, like perhaps buying a new car, you expect some transparency in the buying process. This is a process that gives you the confidence to know you're getting the fair deal, right? So you can really look at all the details. To understand the power of transparency, you need to check out True Car and True Car's mobile app. True Car not only can configure the car you want and how you want it, but you can see what others actually paid for the same car you're looking for. down to the zip code. So right in your area, you see the very same car. So you know what you can expect to pay for the car you want. Pretty transparent, right? And once you decide on that car, you can lock in guaranteed savings on an average over $3,000 off MSRP. Then you're connected with a trusted TrueCar certified dealer that will honor your savings without any negotiation, no shenanigans. So when you're ready for a new, transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, and never overpay, download the TrueCar app today.
LOVE191 is the number. Later tonight, in about, I don't know, 20-so minutes, we do the open forum where you take over the show. Tonight's topic, have you ever had sex with a celebrity? And that is all range of celebrities, by the way. Don't think like if you haven't banged Brad Pitt that you can't call. We want to, if you were like, if you banged a dude on like The Real World Season 3, we still want to hear about it. But we, you know. And again, we highly encourage you to call in if you've had sex with me. Hello, Vic. Feeling you.
Hey, what's up?
What's happening?
Hey, now.
Listen, I'm calling because I've been listening to the show tonight, and I hear that previous call you had about screening and things like that. Well, my thing is this. I've been curious. I've been wanting to try to get an escort for the past year or so.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that I'm concerned about like safety issues.
Just work on them.
What do you mean by safety?
Like, all right, let's say I'm being set up or something. You know, it's an alcohol, I think he was talking about, and I'm, you know, I'll go there, and the next thing you know, it's not who you think it is. And
who are you calling? Where are you calling from? Where are you calling
from? Chicago.
You calling from Chicago?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chicago.
Okay, you're listening to last night's show, at least live here. So, like, we do the show live from L.A., and it's you're on tape delay. So, but.
That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the call you're talking about. Yeah, I mean, you run that risk. It's an illegal endeavor, you know? I mean, I doubt you'll get in much trouble. It's not like a big deal, but it's still illegal.
Well, no, what he's saying is he worries that, you know, it'll be scary or they get jumped or there won't be the right person that he was supposed to have gotten and there'll be no way out. Remember that
right,
guy?
Right, right.
Yeah, remember the guy that talked about going in there and paying money and then it wasn't what he thought it was and they wanted more money? Remember?
Yeah.
He's afraid of that happening.
No, right? Front selling or whatever they called it. Yeah,
right. But Mike, it is. I mean, what's his name?
Vic.
Vic. It is an illegal activity, and you know, bad things are going to happen. Well, what's going on? You need to go see a prostitute.
You know, it's just you hear about it. Something that you know, I'm already up at my age that I want to try it.
You want to take it off your bucket list?
I don't know how to go about it. That's the thing.
Jesus,
I don't even know where to start looking.
I would imagine the internet where
you
for all nefarious behavior, you pick the one that I just don't know anything about, man. I've never even gone down that road. I don't know, man. I don't know what to do. I don't think it's that hard. I mean, I really don't.
He's worried about being safe and not getting busted and all this stuff. And you know,
I think that a way to get to at least give you a little bit more comfort into not getting busted is to spend more money. I think that if you go to a really good escort service, it's probably a way lower chance that you'll get busted.
Got it.
That's interesting.
You know? I see what you're saying.
All right, okay. Dude.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
Let's see. I thought that was the biggest, not the most surprising, certainly not the most surprising once I thought about it, but that was the most interesting part about last night's guest, Miss Acosta, the escort, was that the majority of her clients don't want sex. They just want...
Did she say majority? She said a lot of them.
She said a lot of them. And then when we were talking off the air, I was like, you know, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And...
It's sad,
it is sad, but it's so understandable.
Why?
Because
men don't know how to have relationships.
Yeah, well, because... Yes, exactly. And the more... I really was thinking about my life... And my love life in particular. And there's no correlation between how alone I am and how lonely I feel sometimes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm even if I have really close relationships in my life, sometimes I just feel so lonely.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
And you could imagine that if you'd not had all this therapy, if you'd not met your wife, if you'd not forged intimacy, you could have been that.
Right.
You could have done that.
Totally, yeah. Totally. And there was times when after my divorce, when if I knew that that was an option, I would have totally ordered an escort. If I was like, I can just pay you $500 and you'll just hang out with me all night and pretend like we're buds.
Yeah.
I totally would have done that. Without question.
Wouldn't that feel weird, though?
Yeah, but it would have felt, for that 2 hours, it would have felt like a dream come true.
A relief.
Yeah, because, like, so many times, like, looking back on it, I wasn't alone at all, and I had a lot of great friends and great family and everything. Mm. But in the moment, like, you feel like you're the only person on Earth, and, like, it would have just felt so good to you know, have that.
Yeah.
Hello, Austin.
Yeah.
What's happening?
So, your last caller was talking about being off pain pills and love life and everything. I really want to start. I've been taking Narco 10-3-25 for probably the last 3 years.
What's that, Drew?
For bad neck.
It's opiate. Vicodin.
Oh, okay. That sounds intense.
Yeah,
don't do that.
Yeah, you need to get off it.
So anyway, yeah, I need to get off of it. I've been tapering off. How long do I expect to have love issues?
Have what?
Or sex drive issues once I'm off.
If you're off everything, geez, Mike, you went on for a year, didn't you?
Yeah, about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Was when I would.
I would expect more like about 3 to 6 months. But if you've been using a lot of stuff and other things, it can go a year easily.
Okay. And do you recommend just tapering off or taking something else like Suboxone or whatever?
I don't recommend either. I recommend you go get help from professionals.
And get a rapid, you know, a full detox protocol. You can use Suboxone. That's fine as long as you don't stay on it.
Okay.
Listen to me, Austin. I mean this with all my heart. I'm not saying this to make you feel bad or embarrass you. I'm saying this because I want you to get better. You're not going to wean yourself off. You're not going to taper. That doesn't happen. That doesn't exist on Earth.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just telling you, dude, every single one of my friends and acquaintances that I know that is a pain pill addict, they all go, well, dude, I'm working my way down. I'm only down to one a day.
Never happens.
And
they go back
up. Listen, it does not happen. That's not how chemistry and human interaction of addicts and those pills work. It just doesn't work that way. You got to go to a facility. You got to cut yourself off from it. You got to be medically monitored, and you got to go after it like balls to the wall.
And is that a 30-day program? Or
Ideally, if you really were serious about this, yeah.
It doesn't, you know, I mean, to be fully forthcoming, it doesn't have to be, but in a perfect world, it would be, you know, for your own health.
It'd be longer than that, but depending on what your resources are and things, at least get managed.
Okay.
Go get some help.
Okay. Right, dude?
Yeah.
All right, thanks, man. Hello, Neil.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. How are you?
My son's a heroin addict, and we just admitted him to a rehab in Oregon.
Which one?
His mom's sister's place.
Which one?
I don't know exactly which one, but his mom's sister, they're like tree huggers in Oregon and stuff. They have money, and I put him on a plane and put him up there. My question is weeding himself off Suboxone. I found all these prescriptions for Suboxone, and I heard you guys talking about that earlier, and can you educate me on that a little bit, going off of it cold turkey versus weaning off?
The Suboxone is a very popular medicine right now that was designed to help people do outpatient detoxes with opiates. I can tell you that when I was doing this all full-time, I would never detox anybody with opiates from an opiate as an outpatient because it never, ever works. Somebody who's a real serious...
for free.
Somebody's a serious opiate.
For a prescription to Obamacare, and I'm thinking, how the hell can that be going on?
Yeah, and people abuse it and stuff. And if somebody wants to, listen, if somebody is serious about getting off opiates, they need to go somewhere. Did you go to Springbrook?
It's in Portland? Is that near Portland?
Yeah, there's one outside of Portland called Springbrook.
45 days.
It's outstanding. Yeah, I hope it's Springbrook. They're excellent. I mean, they are really excellent. So he's in good hands.
What was the name of that you said again, though?
Springbrook.
Oh, okay. I'll find out.
It's a Hazelden program. Did he go to a Hazelden program? Do you know?
I don't know at all. I haven't had contact with him. I just put him on the plane Monday.
All right.
Now,
how old is
going off to cold turkey?
How old is your son?
25.
What'd
you say about cold turkey?
it's going off to boxing cold turkey because his mom was, she's got her convinced that he needs his medication. I said, what happens if he goes to jail? I mean, he's going to be off of cold turkey anyway, so.
Yeah, they'll take care of him up there. Don't worry. They'll deal with it. Suboxone takes about 2 weeks to get off of. It's worse than heroin, frankly, and that's one of the reasons I hate it.
All right. Hey, thank you very much. You guys
have a good day. Yeah, and bless your son, man, and good luck.
Good hands.
I know
if he's Springbrook, you're in great shape.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you guys. You bet. All right, dude.
I went to a Hazelden facility.
The Hazelden facility. You went to the city center, right?
It's intense.
Yeah.
It's intense. It really is. But
Springbrook is set up to be a 1 or 2 year program.
Really?
Yeah, it's very cool.
I would have liked to do it in Portland as opposed to Minnesota in the middle of the winter.
And Springbrook, we used to send professionals up because they did a lot of doctors and lawyers and stuff, long-term, people whose licenses were on the line. Yeah.
I have to say that everyone, I would never think to talk about who they were, but everyone I was in Hazelden with were, they were pretty sharp dudes. Yeah. There was not a lot of like,
well, Hazelden,
we packed him in off the streets or something.
Right,
you know?
It's not the starting point, let's say. It's a place for the, what did Mackenzie Phillips tell me, the... reluctant to recover.
I could see that.
Yeah.
But you know why? Because all of them were super smart. There was not a lot of, like I said, there was not a lot of like...
Nudniks.
Not even nudniks. It was just, there's the, I think the stereotype of what a junkie would be, you know, like in people, it's like, hey, I just found my way into this place and it's my last resort.
No.
Almost every guy I was in there with was attorney / pharmacist / police officer / I mean, they were all really sharp people.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it kind of made it harder, I think, for them, you know, because I was like, I was really like a little maniac. I had nothing going for me. Yeah, I really, there was no euphoric recall. I was just a little idiot, you know.
Officer Smith, Dr. Jones, and Little Maniac.
And Little Maniac, yes. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Give us a call if you've had sex with a celebrity of any level. D-list, C-list, Z-list, doesn't matter. 1-800-LOVE-191's the number. It is Loveline.
More Loveline still to come. Loveline? 1-800-LOVE-191.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code LOVELINE at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code LOVELINE. That's LOVELINE at adamandeve.com.
Drew's taking over my computer so they can investigate his
weird-ass
trippy
dream.
Dreams.
Yeah, I had a weird-ass dream last night.
Dr. Drew's living in Inception, so he took my laptop. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. One more break before we get to the open forum. One of our favorites, the whole have you banged a celebrity. And please, if you're out there and you're a young lady, because I haven't crossed that line and had sex with a guy yet. But if you're a young lady out there who has been had the unfortunate luck to have sex with me, please do call. It's happened twice since we've done this.
Yeah,
open
we have
forum.
Done we had, that. We had the couple call in, right?
We had two girls call in, and one of them was a girl that I had a threesome with, which I found fantastic because she said that I was not only did I pull it off, but that I was
caring.
Able to, yes.
To pay attention, as satisfactory attention to everybody.
Yeah.
Well done.
And then we had the girl call up who, remember when Tiny Dancer called in? Tiny Dancer was a former intern for the Kevin and Bean show who then went on to become a adult dancer. I don't know. What do they call that? Exotic dancer?
I don't remember this.
And she called in detailing how I used to invite her places. And then when she would tell me, well, I'm not going to have sex with you, that I would hang up the phone on her. And
I don't remember this. That's funny.
And then I reminded her, I was like, I'm pretty funny. Hello, Will.
Hi. I was listening to last night's show, and you guys made a comparison between someone trying to get high on cocaine and someone trying to get an escort.
Yeah.
And I was wondering why something like that, sex addiction or a similar hypersexuality, was not included in the DSM, like they have a stimulant use disorder for cocaine.
Right. The criteria, or the, shall we say, the dialogue that goes into determining whether something ends up in the DSM or not, is not necessarily a reflection of what is it or is not real, or is there is not a genuine condition. Now, at this point, originally it was going to go in the DSM, and then it did not. Sometimes it has to do with how research projects are constructed. Oftentimes it's because there are similar phenomenon discussed elsewhere that really it falls under the umbrella of something else. You can sort of throw it in some other area, oftentimes mania, things like that. But as a construct, the clinicians use it all the time because it's a very, very useful construct, even though it's not in the DSM.
I see. Yeah, I was just wondering, because it seems like more and more people, especially with the availability of it on the internet, are becoming more of a problem for people.
Yep. There's a guy that is an organization called the Society for the Advancement of Sexual Health. And one of the leaders in that organization felt that internet porn addiction was the most rapidly increasing diagnostic category in the country.
I can see that.
Yep. I see. Oh, thank you.
Okay. Hey, this is a pretty darn good call, Will. What's your deal? What do you do?
I'm a student.
Oh, good for you, man. That was a very thoughtful call, and certainly a good question.
Okay. Thanks for your time. I listen to you guys all the time.
Thanks, man. You live. Appreciate it. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Hello, James. Hello, James.
Hi.
What's happening?
All right. So my question is, I'm getting back into the dating scene after 10-plus years. I've been with a couple girls. And I catch myself that I'm finishing really quick. Is there anything that I can take or use to kind of help with that?
Why not just do round two?
Because there's no round two.
Really? How old are you?
Yeah. It takes a while.
How old are you?
35.
And you can't even do round two like 20 minutes. Like I don't expect you to like immediately put it back in. But because I do premature ejaculation, but I just like go down on a girl, you know, and then let myself build back up, and you know, and then do round two. I didn't mean like do round two immediately. Is that a possibility?
No. No, I've waited up to an hour and.
Wow. Okay.
Well, you're asking, is there anything you can take? Well, certainly you can take the medications that sustain erection, so you can still be.
I guess it's more just to kind of. I'm asking, is there to like desensitize or maybe?
Are you wearing a condom?
There are numbing creams, and there's condoms with numbing creams, and there are medications.
Promescent is what I hear all the time.
Yeah, Promescent. And there's medication that that have been, you know, this is a side effect of the medication will reduce all phases of sexual functioning for that matter. But I don't think you really want to take a medication for something like that.
Yeah. Are you wearing condoms?
Yes. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, no.
Okay. Well, make sure that's always the time.
Yeah, well, with it obviously lasts a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
Without, it's quick.
Okay.
Look at Promescent. That might help you.
Promescent.
Promescent. Okay?
Okay.
All right, dude. All right. Good luck. Hello, Lily. It's a pretty name.
Hi.
What's happening?
Thank you. So I have, like, anxiety. I have an anxiety disorder.
Welcome,
and it
kind
of gets in the way of things. Like, my boyfriend and I have been together for about 4 years, and we're swingers. We've been in a lifestyle for about 2. And it's something, like, we both enjoy a lot. But initially, like, when we start setting things up and getting to meeting people, I feel like my anxiety gets in the way and kind of puts things off sometimes, and it, like, almost ruins it.
But once
we get into everything, everything's great. Like, you know, it's a good time.
So initially, you have a lot of fear and anxiety.
Yeah, just, like, meeting up with people and stuff. Because we don't ever, like, do it through bars and stuff. Like, we set up through, like, you know, we meet people through, like, a website, a swinging website and stuff, so.
And I'm not
sure, people we don't.
Right. And I'm not trying to understand what your question is.
So, I'm sorry. What can I do to, like, help with my anxiety? Like, I have, you know, deep breathing stuff that I try to do to kind of help, but I'm trying not to be, like, weird around these people and, you know, freak them out. You know what I mean?
Does it help at
and
all?
I don't like to drink beforehand.
Right.
I don't want to be inebriated.
Right. Does it help ever to sort of talk about the anxiety, to sort of put it out there and say, hey, look, I'm really sorry, but I just want to put it out here that I'm anxious when I first meet people. I'm sorry if I seem uncomfortable or awkward, but I'll calm down.
Yeah, and I mean, I've done that a couple times, and it, you know, for the most part, like the people that I've done that with, they've been understanding, mm-hmm. but I feel like sometimes it's off-putting, and I don't know if that's just my anxiety saying that, or,
I think
you
that's
know,
your anxiety, because
these
people
get a little weirded out and think that I'm weird.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm pretty sure these are not judgmental people.
Yeah, these are people looking for something else.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so
they're pretty open and understanding. It's one of the things I really like about people in the lifestyle.
Yeah, they're going to be more interested in getting down to business. Now, if you really want to deal with your anxiety, that's therapy.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, a lot of times anxiety is residual trauma and or some sort of disconnect from emotions generally.
Yeah, I was diagnosed at 19 with generalized anxiety disorder.
I understand, but did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
What was the trauma?
Well, I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on, you know, at home with my folks financially, and I mean, it was a really stressful time. I was away at college and couldn't really help much, and so, and I'm, like, very big into helping people. That's literally what I do for my living, so, like, not being able to help people, especially people that I love, was very difficult, and I think that really just triggered everything.
Yeah. I can just feel, it must have felt helpless.
Yes, very.
Okay, so you might want to get into some treatment dealing with those sorts of feelings, right?
Yeah, I really should. And, you know, considering I work, you know, in the mental health field, you would think that I would practice more self-care and do stuff for myself.
Well, if you're doing any kind of intimate sort of therapeutic interactions, it's incumbent on you to take care of your own stuff.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Right. There's many facets to the mental health.
Yeah, no, I know, but I said if. Yeah. You have an obligation to clear the instrument, as they say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Thank you, Lily.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You bet.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It is time. Mm-hmm. We are upon the open forum.
Ooh.
Maybe our second favorite open forum
What's
topic?
What's our first favorite?
I got to say confessional.
Yeah.
I don't know. Actually, sexual injuries to me is...
Those are the top three, and they go back and forth depending on the calls that come in.
Yeah, but see...
If we get a top-notch...
I can't put confessional in my top three, because regardless, even if it's a happy bunch, there's always a couple sad ones.
Yeah, but...
Sexual injuries, universally fun.
Absolutely.
Always fun.
And this one, it depends on what people call in with. If they call in with even 60% good, really good, it's sensational.
It makes my whole week.
Yeah.
Michael Caine banging a chick in his Rolls Royce at Tommy Burger made my whole life.
We've been talking about that for a year and a half.
It's made my whole life happen.
Maybe that girl could call us back.
Please do.
Tommy Burger girl.
If you've had sex with a celebrity of any level, we want to hear about it on this open forum right here on Loveline.
Loveline. Loveline. We'll be right back.
Oh, feels so good, doesn't it?
It's the Film Vault, Brian.
Is it?
What is the Film Vault?
That's what everyone's asking right now. They have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, some people are saying we know what it is because we've heard you guys talk about it before, but just in case, and for those who have not.
Drop the knowledge, Anderson.
The Film Vault is a show that we do every single week where we talk about movies we've seen recently, as well as we go through the annals of film history and talk about top five lists.
Okay.
Different lists every week, Brian.
A different theme every week.
Different theme.
Is what you're saying.
Different lists.
This is a great idea. I got to listen to the show. What's it called again?
The Film Vault.
Where can you find it?
Podcast One.
That's O-N-E.
LOVE-191 is the number. I just don't buy it.
Which one?
What do you think? Which one?
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Didn't we? I thought we
didn't, I think we did too. Initially, we've taken this one before.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. It's time for the open forum.
It's time for you to give us your opinions and insight. Here's tonight's open forum.
All right, it is time for the open forum. It is where you take over the show.
This is it.
It's essentially us saying, you, the Loveline audience, you give us your experience, your info, your insight. And tonight's open forum topic, have you had sex with a celebrity? If so, call up and tell us who. Justin, you know we're talking about you when we say we don't buy it, but, I mean, maybe we're just jealous. Go ahead. Justin? Oh, he hung up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, liar.
There you go.
He said Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
No. I don't get it.
Yeah. Because that's number one grade A. Best of all.
Remember who we got last time was the oldest sister on Modern Family.
Oh, yeah. We did get that. Yeah.
Who is that chick?
I don't know her name because I'm terrible with actresses and actors' names, but he said that she was super cool and very nice. And...
Oh, is she the Sarah Hyland? Is that her?
I don't know names.
Yeah. I don't think that happened.
No, it did.
Hello, Justin.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Long-time listener, by the way.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. So the celebrity that, well, if you could call her a celebrity, that I slept with was named Taylor Hilton, and she's like a B-list porn star. I don't know if you've ever heard of her before.
Which is weird, because if she's B-list, how is she a star? You know what I'm saying? Like, she's not an adult actress. Everyone's a porn star.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're like the former bass player in Alter Bridge, you're not a rock star. You're just a musician.
Alter Bridge.
All right, hold on. I'm looking this broad up. What'd you say her name was? Taylor?
Hilton.
Taylor Hilton.
Like the hotel chain?
Yeah. Like the hotel chain. Hmm. Taylor Hilton, IMDb. She got an IMDb. She starred in Strap-Ons for Dummies, Barely Legal 68, MySpace 2, North Pole, All Lubed Up. Let's see here. No pictures, though. Let's see here. And where did you meet this young lady?
I just described my exact experience with her, too.
Where did you meet this young lady? Oh, she's pretty.
Funny enough, I actually met her because I called her number from the Denver Batcage.
Batcage?
So,
the what?
Yeah, she was escorting.
Ooh. Oh, the Denver Batcage. Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I guess things are different now. It's not like the old days where you can make a ton of dough being an adult star. Like, you got to supplement your income.
By prostituting.
I guess so.
That's so funny.
Thank you for the call. Let's talk to this guy. This guy's a legend. I want to smell your dick. Hello, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Tell me who you banged.
Oh, my God. It was a most phenomenal experience. It was a threesome with the gal from Baywatch. Her name's Stacey Kamano.
Stacey Kamano was from the Baywatch, like the Hawaiian Baywatch.
Oh. Yeah.
And she is so effing hot.
Smoking.
Look at this.
Like,
look at this.
Believe, I moved from New York. I was a bartender. I moved to L.A. It was like my first weekend on the job. These two girls are just totally vibing me. Like, this is insane. This is in L.A., really.
Okay.
And then just going all night. And I told them I got off at 1:00. And I'll give them a text, and I'm like, this isn't going to happen, but we'll see what happens. Did it. They told me to come over. Came over. It just instantly started making out with one, going with the other one. The other one went down. It was insane. And then the whole time I kept looking at this girl. I'm like, oh, my God, this girl looks so familiar. And when I got home, I Googled her, and I'm like, holy stuff, this is a girl from Baywatch.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I applaud you. That's fantastic, dude. And do you ever keep in contact with her, or was it just like, you know?
No, not at all. It was really funny, though. About 3 months later, I was driving on the street, and I pulled up at a stoplight. She was right next to me. I looked at her, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's you.
Oh, no. Did she remember you?
Yeah. I don't know. I was close, so I don't know.
All right, Josh. Well, powerful work. Have you ever had sex with a celebrity? That is our open forum this evening. And again, you get like extra double brownie points if you have had sex with me. Hello, Taylor.
Hi.
What's up, honey?
Hey, I just want to tell you guys I was in on 2nd Street in Belmont Shore about 10 years ago, and Cuba Gooding Jr. walked out of the Legends with his stuntman. Me and my girlfriend were there. And
you said, wait, hold on. I'm sorry. Like, you said it quickly. You said Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay.
So anyway, he was walking out of Legends, and we were going in, and he goes, he was like, hey, what's up, ladies? And my girlfriend goes, what's up, Cuba? And he was just, like, surprised, like, oh, wow, you know who I am. Well, anyway, he ended up coming back into Legends with us. We partied all night and ended up back at his hotel room with him and his stuntman.
And wait a second, you, his stuntman and he banged you?
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
And yeah, that's what happened, yeah.
Wait, no, but so, like, if he's Cuba Gooding Jr.'s stuntman, did he just like Cuba Gooding Jr.?
No. He was his height, and he was black, but no, he
that's
didn't
about
look
it.
Like
okay.
him.
And,
yeah.
Did he ever perform any stunts for him in the bedroom?
Oh, come on now.
Yeah, we, like, all switched up and had a good time.
Did he say, show me the money?
No. I don't know. No.
That'd be funny.
No.
If I was Cuba Gooding Jr., I would do that. I would get in the bedroom and I'd say, show me the pussy!
No, it was pretty wild, but no. No, show me the money. He'll kind of bounce back to me.
Did he have a big penis?
No. It was average. Nothing too exciting.
Was it average for a human or average for a black guy?
Nothing too exciting, she said.
Yeah. Just average.
Okay.
It wasn't anything, no.
Okay,
it was just
fantastic.
Average.
Have you ever, thank you so much, Taylor. Have you ever had sex with a celebrity? That is our open forum for you this evening. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. We started off strong and now no one wants to call.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you're out there and you've had sex with a celebrity, call us up. And by the way, we don't need it to be Cuba Gooding Jr. It doesn't even need to be, a big celebrity. Just
these have been pretty good so far, too.
So far, so good. Yes. It could be Z-list celebrities.
Yeah, yeah.
And by
sometimes
the way,
that's the funniest.
It's not like there's not a lot of you out there. I live in L.A. I know Pauly Shore's banged half of all of us that live here. We don't even know it. Pauly Shore has banged us. Bill Maher banged us all. Who else? Like, I don't even know, like, who did Sean Penn bang tonight?
Oof.
By the way, Sean Penn is a guy we left out of that greatest cock... Ooh.
Well,
no, it wasn't really a cuss word.
Yeah.
The greatest swordsman argument we were having, where Derek Jeter ended up winning.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Penn deserves to be in that list.
Yes,
you know,
he does.
Broke up with Charlize Theron earlier this month.
Yeah.
And he's already made his way to Minka Kelly. Sean Penn has.
Well done.
Sean Penn has done that.
Not bad.
Yeah. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. I've had sex with some celebrities.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know that.
Oh, you mean like Dancing with the Stars time?
And yeah, I mean, you know, around that time there was some very... I've never had sex with an A-list celebrity, but I've had sex with...
Yeah.
I've had sex with celebrities that people don't know about, you know?
Yeah.
You know, because like people are probably like, yeah, okay, your wife's on TV. I go, yeah, yeah, that counts. But I've had sex with celebrities that no one knows I've had sex with.
Hmm.
I mean, you might know, but...
I'm not sure I did. Was it because they were the guests on Loveline?
I'm trying to think. I almost had sex with an adult film star, and I found out that Anderson got to her first.
Oh!
That's a true story. That's a 100% true story.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I thought you still tried to go down that path,
no.
though.
No, I did not.
Because of me?
No.
Okay.
That'd
be offensive.
That was one in a long list of reasons. And it wasn't, and actually it had none of them were negative reasons. It just like didn't work out. I was in a really chaotic time in my life. And she's actually a very, very nice person.
She's very sweet.
Yeah,
Drew, before you judge, she was not an adult star when I was with her briefly.
Hmm.
That came later.
Hello.
This is confusing.
Hello, Shane.
Yes. How do you do, guys?
Very good, sir. How do you do?
I do fantastic. I just want to say I've been listening to Drew since I was 14.
All right.
I broke my neck playing hockey when I was in Florida.
Jesus.
All I was able to do was just, like, listen to Loveline. And
wow.
Mike, you as well. I'm a big fan of yours.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
thank
it.
You,
have you broke your neck, you say?
Yeah. I played hockey my whole life, and I got thrown into the boards head first, and I got a compression fracture on my C4, 5, and 6.
Wow.
And
holy
a neck brace
mackerel.
For 5 months.
Oh,
holy mackerel. All right. Well, man, I'm glad you're okay, and please tell us your celebrity that you banged.
Okay, so here's the deal. They are twin sisters who direct horror movies. Their names are Jen and Sylvia Soska.
I slept with one of them. I do not recall who, because they're twins.
Oh, Jen, my God. And Sylvia Soska. Let's see here. They are twins. Whoa, they're attractive.
They're horror film directors?
And wow, they've got booty. Holy mackerel, they have ass on them. I mean, they have, like, alarming white girl butt. Look at that.
Yeah, that's a lot of ass meat right there. Have any of you guys ever heard of Fantastic Fest?
Is that like a horror film festival?
Yeah, it's in Texas at the Alamo Draft House.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
I went to Florida State University, and this is the closest thing to what it was like to party at college, all packed in a week. Just a week long of how in the universe can we party this hard for this long, but you do.
I'd go to just the Alamo Draft House, period. That alone is like a good time. That place is awesome.
Yeah. We got
to
do it.
Yeah, it really is.
I think I'm actually going to have an event
movies
there.
Go.
Wow.
Next year, or maybe later this year, yeah.
That's a great institution. We have to take a quick break for station identification. We have so many awesome ones on the line. I almost can't wait to get back to them, but it's only a 30-second break. Have you had sex with a celebrity? That is our open forum. Give us a call. It's Loveline.
Time for you to give us your opinions and insight. Here's tonight's open forum.
Drew?
Yep, I'm ready for this one.
No, I don't think you are. Because, I mean, obviously you know that.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense to you right now?
Oh, no, it does.
When I remind you?
No, I know what it is.
Okay.
Oregon, right?
Yeah, just hold on. Yeah. All right. Let's get to Taylor. The open forum, by the way, is... Why would that person hang up? We wanted to talk to that person so bad! Anyway, call back, person. You know who you are. Taylor, hello.
Hi.
Hi, you had sex with a very big celebrity.
Yes, it was Anthony Kiedis. This was probably 20 years ago.
You had sex with Anthony Kiedis during, like, the height of the Chili Peppers.
Before him and I both got sober, I'm actually 15 years recovery.
Good for you. Awesome. Well,
back in the heroin, strung out, drunken days.
Yeah, well, either way, he probably was at the peak of his poontang career, too, so you must be very, very good looking.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I try to pride myself on that.
He a very athletic, very handsome, very, like, passionate man. I would imagine he's quite a lover.
Back then, probably not so much. Maybe now, but back then, his whole thing was kind of one night stands, and that's pretty much all it was with us. And to be honest with you, I can vaguely remember it because, like I said, it was back in the using days. But it's definitely pretty cool to be able to say that I did something like that.
Fantastic.
People don't even believe me, but.
Did he say California to your pussy? Because he seems to say that in everything.
Oh, my God.
Did he sing at all?
No. God, that would be just freaking awkward. it was just like having sex with anyone else. And to be honest with you, it probably wasn't as great as some other people that I've slept with.
Well, he was also, I don't know Mr. Kiedis personally, but I do know, I have interviewed him, and I've certainly read his book. He was probably not capable of performing very well. He was, he was bad.
Oh, definitely.
That was a bad, bad drug addict.
I know.
That man.
Although Bob Forrest was worse.
Yeah.
Bob Forrest scared him.
Bob Forrest is the only person ever that Flea and Anthony agreed was a worse drug addict than them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the guy in the Chili Peppers that they all went, oh, this guy's too much.
Well, you know what?
We can't even hang with the guy.
And to be fair, so was John from the Chili Peppers. They're one of their second guitar player.
John Frusciante.
They're like, he's going to die. You have to, not only are you have to leave the band because you're dysfunctional, you're going to be dead, so we have to get a new guitar player now because you're a dead person walking. And he came back. He went, I think he went to the Netherlands to go do heroin, and he came back from it. You know, good for him. But now they have a new guy, too. So,
Who knows times. Where John is?
So, want to talk about what we flipped out about?
Anderson, you ready for number one?
Oh,
you ready
no
for line
way.
One?
No way.
Is Drew just going to jizz in his pants?
No way.
It's Topher. It's Topher. Hold on. 1-800-LOVE-191. Have you had sex with a celebrity? Our open forum. Hello, Jennifer.
Hey, guys. What's up?
What is happening? You sound hot.
Oh, thanks. A couple of them. Topher Grace.
Topher Grace. Dr. Drew's favorite Tourette's subject. And how was that?
Honestly,
that's a bad
it wasn't
story.
That great.
And how come?
It was really awkward. He kept like saying things that it just wasn't like hot or like attractive.
What do you mean he was saying things that weren't hot?
He would just it was a cuss word over and over again. Like he was like almost climaxing, so he would keep saying like, "Oh shoot, oh shoot, oh shoot," but it was like really. It's not manly and not.
Yeah,
really,
it doesn't sound manly.
Not really great.
All right. Well, all right. So, you said there was a couple, but Topher, who else?
Lucas Till.
Lucas Till. Luke, why does that name sound familiar? What did Lucas Till do?
X-Men, Hannah Montana movie, all that good stuff.
Oh, this guy's a very handsome young man. How was that?
Okay.
Another disappointment.
Lucas Till has quite a chin, a carved up chin. How is his penis?
He's smaller on the smaller side.
Yeah. I'm glad to know there's more of them out there besides me. All right. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Hot are you? Tweet me a picture of you. You must be really, really hot.
Oh, I will. Thank you. I'll see if I get the approval from Mr. Mike Catherwood.
I'm sure you will. To be honest, my standards aren't very high, but you sound super duper hot. So congratulations, and thank you for calling us and letting us know of your sexual exploits with handsome men.
It's Topher.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
You had sex with a massive A-list celebrity.
Well, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was Gwen Stefani, and this is going back probably like 89, 90-ish, around then, sometime.
So you just grew up with her in Orange County?
Yeah, we were Orange County, and then, because, back then you'd see everybody at parties.
Yeah.
Fullerton, that area, Brea, Placentia, all that stuff, you'd see everybody at parties. And then the other one, I can't even remember her name, but the girl that played the Bundys.
You had sex with Christina Applegate?
Yes, thank you.
When was this?
This was about the same time, maybe, a year or two later.
Are you in your 40s?
Yeah, 44.
You must have been a massive star as a teenager, a kid, early 20s. You must have just been a real G.
Part of it was I just had to get the what-the-hell attitude,
Yeah.
Go for it. What the hell?
I find that the greatest swordsmen are, guys, young, handsome surf punks that don't know what they're doing, almost. They don't even get in their own way by being too thought,
mm-hmm.
Too thoughtful about it. They just throw their dick around.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how we were.
Yeah.
Good for you. What up? Surf punk. All that.
What a great American you are, Mike.
We've had some good a good run here. We still lost that one from University of Oregon.
So what, Mike, by the way, how were these young ladies as people? I'm it's great that you had sex with them, but Christina Applegate, Gwen Stefani, they were nice young ladies?
Oh, as friendly as could be.
Yeah.
Right. Especially Christina Applegate.
Yeah, I know Christina.
Truly, truly, truly friendly.
Yep.
That is
not
the,
just friendly, but just delightful.
Like a delightful. That is the word around town that she is one of the nicest people in Hollywood. Yeah. All right, dude. Well, thank you very much, Mike.
Cool.
What were you saying, Drew?
Well, we lost that one call.
Yeah. Okay. So about 6 months ago, year ago, something like that. This girl on the internet took the internet by storm because she had sex in a college library.
Well, she did some internet did a
she tried
a
to finger diddle herself or something
camera. So what do they call that stuff in front of the camera?
Cam girl. She was a cam girl. Yeah.
But she
did it from her college.
And she claimed to be doing it with her boyfriend, and he recorded it and sent it out, something like that.
And she was freaking scorching hot. with huge natural cans and a beautiful vagina.
Oh, the whole thing comes out during the video, huh?
I just remember having an angelic vagina.
And she claims to be, and the conceit is she's doing it in the library at the University of Oregon.
Yeah. And someone claimed to have had sex with her. Oh, Casey Jordan. Hello, James.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? Who'd you have sex with?
It was Casey Jordan. She was one of Charlie Sheen's...
She was one of the goddesses. She was the hot one.
Yeah.
She was kind of like Asian-y looking, right? Oh, no, she was super blonde.
Blonde.
Yeah, I'm blonde. Looking at pictures of her with many penises inside her right now. And how was that?
Yeah, it makes me feel great. It was okay. It was good. I repossessed cars, and her car was out for repossession. I went to her house. She said, you know, you want to leave my car? I knew who she was. She said, you know, you want to leave my car? If you leave my car, I'll have sex with you. I'm like, all right. I did it. With protection, of course.
Yes.
And then a few hours later, I was thinking, you know, I want that money. So I went back and I took her car.
Oh! Yeah. Good for you. She has quite a...
Oh my goodness!
She has a prominent vagina. There's a lot of labia there.
Puffy.
Yeah. There's some puff. There's some puff. She's puff. She's puff mommy. There's puff daddy. She's puff mommy. All right, dude. Thank you.
Oh my god. You know,
I thought about how we talked to that. Like Michael Caine was our favorite.
Yeah.
But we can't. We cannot forget. Nor can we ever let people forget about the Taylor Swift one.
Oh yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
That was legendary.
Yeah. Dude was
a backup dancer on some other musician's tour.
Yeah.
And he went into pretty extensive
detail.
Remember
he had to hide in the bushes? It was
he had a fake name? No. I don't remember. The hotel room where they met up at was San Francisco.
Oh.
And he had to use a fake name, and she had a code name, and they had to meet at different in a different hotel room and then go
and
to a separate one.
And they kept meeting for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine what Taylor Swift looks like naked. Oh, I bet you rays of light come out of her vagina. Beautiful rays of light and coins. Just that she's so rich, just money just shoots out of her like an ATM. Oh. I don't know much about the ways of a woman, but I know one thing. Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift has a beautiful vagina. What? Like, you just know, right? There's no way she has, like, beef curtains and nonsense down there, right? Some errant meat. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. We will now take your calls regarding anything you want here on Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
No one else can find the trouble so quickly or repair it so economically.
Loveline is coming back.
All right, here's a question for you. Would you listen to a podcast featuring a comedian and a magician?
Nope.
Of course not. Nobody would. That's why we locked that comedian and magician in a room with a burlesque queen.
Yes!
Because we're pretty sure even if it's awkwardly horrible, it's gonna be funny.
I'm Fraser Smith.
And I'm Jim Bentley.
And our co-host, Harper Rose.
We might take comedy seriously, folks, but we don't take ourselves too seriously.
And of course, there's nothing funnier than a good dose of low self-esteem.
We're idiots.
Yes, we are.
You see? That's funny.
An astute observation has led to laughter.
We want to invite you to laugh with us as we bring you the Fraser and Bentley podcast.
And if that's not reason enough to listen, check this out.
Hi, I'm John Lovitz, and I'm proud to be the first guest.
Oh, man, might be a funny overload. Burlesque girl, finish it out for us.
Be sure to look for our show every Wednesday, only on Podcast One. That's podcastone.com.
That would be way sexier if you could actually see her.
Bring on the fun bags.
Yay!
Yeah, man. It's Loveline. Thank you for listening, but thank you even more for calling, like Jasmine. Hello, Jasmine. I love your tea.
Hello.
What's happening?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm dating a guy, and he's in the military right now, and I feel like I want to break up with him, but I don't really have a real reason, and at the same time, I feel like I don't want to, and I was seeing a therapist, and she told me that I had cyclothymia disorder. And I don't know if I'm being impulsive or if that has anything to do with it. Sometimes I just feel anxious about it. Sometimes I feel like everything's okay. And I don't know. I don't know if this is normal or not.
I don't think we can really assess this in 2 minutes on the radio.
Yeah.
Nor can we really advise you. You have a therapist. What are you discussing with her?
Well, I had her because I would always get this anxious feeling and I would feel lost and like I had to be somewhere, but I really had nothing or anywhere to be. And I guess it was just like this random anxiety or like sadness and just, I don't know, I felt like I was going through some kind of like depression, but I had no reason to be depressed. Like everything at home's fine. I have no real problems. And she was telling me that it probably comes from, like, my mother, because she had, like, an anxiety disorder, or has.
You sound like somebody who's had some trauma, too.
When I was small, there was a guy who would, like, hold me down and, like, make me tell him things, but
make,
I don't recall.
Make you tell him
things.
Make you what?
Like, call him baby and, like, things like that. But
really?
Would he do anything sexual with you?
I don't remember. I just remember him when he would say things, it was meant in that way. It wasn't like being sweet or anything like that. And he would like hold me and he wouldn't let me leave. He was like, I was probably in elementary school and he was probably, I remember him being an older kid, like maybe like middle school or high school.
Sounds awful.
Yeah, that sounds really terrible. Well, either way, okay, so you have...
I don't know why you're not dealing with the trauma and therapy.
Yeah, I mean, either way, regardless of your conditions, I think that you should be really focusing on yourself right now and...
Not making any big decisions.
Yeah.
That doesn't really, like, bother me. I actually forgot about it, and I don't know how... Like, I always remember, like, I couldn't call anyone baby, or anything like that. And it just hit me, like, one day I remembered, like... Oh my God, like, I felt so nasty about it. Or, like, when people would hold me down, I would just, like, freak out and start crying.
Yeah, you've got to talk to your therapist about this.
I told her about it, but she kind of, like, disregarded that. Then it was weird because I would talk to her, and then she would tell me, like, oh, you know, it sounds like you kind of need someone to talk to. And I kind of, like, stopped, and I was thinking to myself, like, I thought that's why I was here. Like, I thought this was that.
Is she a psychiatrist or a therapist?
I honestly thought she was a psychiatrist, but then from what I understand, psychiatrists can prescribe you medicine. She was talking to me, and she's like, you know what? I think you should talk to your doctor about giving you stabilizers or something like that. And I was like, oh, like, I thought that she was that, because then she started telling me, I can't give you medicine. I'm not that. I think she's, like, a family therapist. But anyway, after talking to her, I started feeling better, and I wasn't having, like, any, like, anxiety or feeling lost type of episodes. And so I just never went back to her after that. And it's been about, that was like around November.
Well, it sounds like you still have some work to do.
Yes. And there's nothing wrong with you. Yeah. I mean, that's not a bad thing. You gotta do the work, because you're going to end up torturing yourself. You know, the kind of the burden that comes with having an unquiet mind is
saying, you were told to get a mood stabilizer. You didn't. You were in the middle of therapy. You left. You have unresolved trauma issues. It's time to get back in there. Okay?
I know, but I felt like fine. Like, I feel fine now. The only thing is, like...
Then why are you on the phone with us?
I felt fine. I did therapy for 10 years.
I mean, honestly, Jasmine, if you feel so fine, then what is your motivation to call?
My question right now is that my boyfriend's, like, long distance, and I don't know if, like, I want to break up with him out of impulse or because of, like, that. She said that I have that, so I don't know if it's because of that.
My point being that clearly you're not fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would rest on breaking up with your boyfriend until you kind of get in better touch of what's going on with yourself and your level of anxiety and all that kind of stuff. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Good luck. Thank you for the call. Hello, Eric.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening, dude?
Not much. I just had a basic question about a foot fetish of mine.
You said a foot fetish?
Yeah, foot fetish.
I actually, and I this is not from the doctor in the room. I just feel like the foot, quote unquote, fetish is so popular and so common, I don't know if it's even a fetish anymore. Like, can it be considered a fetish?
Well, yeah, it is.
Okay.
If you need it to function sexually, it's formally a fetish.
I wouldn't say I need it, but it adds.
It's important.
All right, so what's up?
Yeah. I wanted to know, really, what's going on, like, in my head that makes me so attracted to feet.
Well, there's different theories about it, and no one knows. I don't think anyone really knows for sure the complete story. One theory is that, you know, you're sort of growing up, when you're developing, you're down at people's feet, and when traumatic experiences happen, somehow there's some association with that. The other is that actually in your brain anatomy, certain sexual arousal centers are near areas of foot perception.
Hmm.
So there's actually an anatomic theory about it too. So, don't know.
I have a bonehead theory, and I think it's because we as men are so attracted. Straight guys are so attracted to women physically that we actually worship and get turned on by what would be considered the grossest part of the body. Like I'm so hot for women that I actually am even hot for their stanky-ass feet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's my...
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's totally based on nothing. I just because I actually don't have the foot thing, which is odd because I'm gross. But I'm telling you, Eric. Like, I personally don't even think that it can be considered fetishized anymore because every guy I know is into feet. Like, and they all jerk off to feet, and they want to know what every like female celebrity, they want to know what their feet look like. They're totally into it. So you're not a weirdo.
I mean, yeah. That was my second question, just seeing if it was a common thing, or like, how do I even bring this up to a girl I'm with? I feel like that's such a weird thing.
Well, how deep are you into it? Like, do you want to bang chicks' feet, or you just like want to look at them?
I like toes, especially. That's my thing.
Like, how much do you like it? Like, you suck on them and stuff, or you have to
suck on toes, all that. Yeah.
All right. I don't think that's that crazy. I don't even think you need to bring it up. Just do it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Awesome. Thanks,
all right, dude. Mm-hmm. Take it easy. That's not that gross, right? A guy like wants to put his chick's feet.
Guys do
a
lot of gross
stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. Let's see. Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Pretty good, man. How are you?
I'm all right.
So what's going on?
So I'm kind of having some issues. I've got like a friends with benefits kind of thing with this girl. And there's been a bit of history, like we've had a lot of like fights about, I guess, not like the relationship, but just kind of like what we were doing. And I don't know, like, if it's something that I should just kind of cut and run, if I'm, you know, just hurting myself more than I really probably should be. I mean, it's become more than just friends with benefits, but
yeah, I mean, that's like, always the risk, right? That's always the risk.
It's become more for you.
Yeah, and it's been tough because, like, I mean, I'm finding myself getting really emotionally attached to it. But I don't know if I'm like really in the zone to be like boyfriend girlfriend kind of thing.
Well, would she even want that? Would she allow that, or is she just insistent on it being nothing but sex?
She actually she floated the idea. Like, she asked me straight up. You know, she's like, you know, do you want to be my boyfriend?
So why aren't you doing that?
I mean, there's a bit of an age difference. So I mean, there's like 6 years age difference.
Oh, come on, that's nothing.
18 to 24.
She kind of shows her immaturity sometimes. I mean, not that, you know, I'm 24, not that I'm the most mature person out there, but...
But she's 18.
She kind of still, she's 18. She's still kind of in that, you know, party phase, that kind of stuff, whereas I'm kind of starting to come out of that.
All right, well, then I think...
Like, hang out with her friends.
I think you're answering your own question. You know, like...
Okay.
You've come to the conclusion that you can no longer just have sex with this girl, that if you're going to continue this, you have to do a relationship, and you're not prepared to do that with her because of her age, and so you should get out of this. You know, it's just not fair to her. Sure. It's not fair to you, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, you had some fun, and you leave on good terms, so all in all, it's a win. Just look at it that way.
Fair enough.
All right, dude.
All right.
Later.
All right, thanks.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Give us a call. We are here for you because this is Loveline.
More love lines still to come. 1-800-LOVE-191.
A On this week's big podcast with Shaq, is Shaq a helicopter sports dad like Diddy?
In a few years, Sharif will have his opportunity to play college ball. Don't tell me that Shaq's going to end up being like Diddy, going after a coach and going out in handcuffs at practice.
You know what? I don't believe the media most of the time.
Speculation.
However,
right.
If somebody disrespects my son, I'm going to have to also get arrested. Any form of disrespect was going on, I'd probably have to go see the coach.
Oh, man.
I'd probably have to go see the coach.
You get arrested, this show gets canceled.
Listen, I know Ray Donovan. We'll be out in 5 minutes.
The Big Podcast with Shaq.
That's me. It's up right now at podcastone.com.
That's podcastone.com.
Why do you ask what happened, Drew? You know, you've heard this story.
The Holland story?
Yes. My Dutch story.
Is there a Holland poo story?
No.
Oh.
This is my embarrassing moment regarding Holland that doesn't have anything to do with actually being in Holland.
Oh.
I was in Aspen.
Oh.
With certain A-list celebrities.
Yes.
And one of their sons is married to a Dutch girl.
Okay.
And we're talking in the van, and I don't even know my wife that well yet. We were just dating, and I'm still kind of in the touchy-feely stage. And she says, I love America, I really do, but I often miss Holland. And I take a beat, and I go, what about oats? And no one, crickets. Holland oats, people. Yeah. Hello, Megan. Thank you for calling Loveline.
Hello. Hi, Dr. Drew. Hi, Mike.
Hey there.
Howdy.
Okay. So I was calling because it's an unfortunate story. My little sister was 22. She passed away about 9 months ago.
Jesus, what happened?
She passed away from a drug overdose in a hotel room.
Great.
Was she mixing drugs?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe it was cocaine and heroin.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I really, really, really am sorry. That's terrible.
Thank you. Thank you for your condolences. I was just really calling to ask Dr. Drew if maybe I've been really trying to seek out some sort of therapy or I'm not sure if I need to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I feel like she was my dearest and best friend. I'm 25. She was 22, and I kind of almost feel lost.
Mm. Yeah. I would start with a therapist for sure.
Okay. And
you can see both, but yeah, start with talk therapy, which would be a psychologist, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And no, somebody with a PsyD or a PhD, somebody with, you know, a grief, interest in grief and bereavement.
Okay. I just wasn't sure. And, you know, I work at a place that's the happiest place on earth. Mm. And, sometimes it's hard, you know, to go...
Spearmint Rhino?
And to, you know, make people happy, but I love my job, but I almost feel guilty being so happy, you know,
right.
And missing her so much at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, she would not want you to be miserable, right?
Right. She, I know she knew if I loved her, and if love could save every addict in the world, we would be a world with no addicts.
That
is
exactly true. Are you a character at the happiest institution on earth?
I am not. I take care of people that are not sometimes so happy with everything that's happening for them.
Oof, that's got to be rough.
So I really have to put the charm
on.
Yeah,
you are.
And some days I just, you know, I have to just smile through it when I see two little sisters that are, you know, so happy together, and I just kind of have to hold that in and just think, you know, and my dad worked there growing up for 17 years, so it's, you know, it's almost like going to work is also going where me and my sister, it was our babysitter in the summer, so it's hard, it's definitely mixed emotions, having to take care of everybody else and take care of myself as well.
Yeah, but just, I could easily see that, but I just, my take is, try to let that happiness beget more happiness, as opposed to letting it remind you of a longing for something that you don't have anymore. Let it just be a spark for more, like a happiness fire, you know? And that may sound like
right.
super super Hallmark and cheesy, but you can do it. You know, like I really think that regardless of what has happened in your life, surrounding yourself with people who are upbeat and happy is never a bad thing, you know?
No, and I can definitely say that it does help. You know, they're like a family there. And I just want to tell you and, you know, Dr. Drew, I appreciate you both. And I'm just grateful that we have somewhere that we can call and get this, you know, great information. And, you know, you guys are well known for that. So thank you very much.
I really appreciate it. Thank you, Megan. And call anytime. Let's see here. Hello, Nick.
Yes. I had a question. Hopefully you guys can help me out. I am a drug addict, and I was hoping to seek some advice or some information on how to get clean and sober without insurance. I've checked all over.
Where are you at? Without insurance and without money? Both?
I mean, I could gather some money, but not like, you know,
not
tens
big
of
bucks, yeah.
Of dollars.
Where are you at in the country?
Northwest side of Chicago.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with the availability of sort of county or free beds in Chicago, I'm afraid. Mike, you know anything?
I don't. I wish I did. I
would
do
go
know
online
that...
and start searching for, you know, county-funded beds, yeah. Or, you know.
That's kind of what I've done is, you know, just kind of researched online. And, I mean, out of the 35 places I called, they all pretty much without insurance. They just don't have any.
Can I ask why? Can't you get immediate insurance from the Affordable Care Act?
I'm not sure. I really don't.
Yes, the answer is you can. Everybody
okay.
can.
Yeah, because yeah, I mean that was the.
So go online and sign up for that first.
Go to isn't it? It's WhiteHouse.gov has.
I don't, in Illinois, I don't know if it's like we have California Care here.
Right, but
WhiteHouse.gov?
Go to the United States government, the White House, the United States President, of the United States official website. And there are links to getting, you know, the Obamacare. That's what it is. That's what it was
designed for.
So,
yep.
It's
insane.
And there's some places that do take that insurance.
Well, yeah, that's insurance. That is medical insurance. It's health insurance. So
that, and then again, look into county department of mental health. Sometimes they'll have county funded beds too.
Illinois.
Okay. Just look up Department of Mental Health, and usually they'll have some county funded beds.
Right.
I'm doing it right now.
Thank you so much. Like I said, I've searched, I mean, a couple dozen places, and it just seems like without insurance, there's nowhere I can go.
It's definitely harder, but we love to pick on the United States of America, but I am in right now in a conversation with someone via Twitter, and I'm not gonna point anybody in any direction of what country or who I'm talking about. But they're going through some troubles with addiction, and they cannot save their own life because they are not here in the U.S. And we, when all else fails, we at least have that. We have that option, and you do too, dude. And I'm looking at the Illinois Department of Human Services, which is where it's at dhs.state.il. So, and you can go there. There does look to be mental health facilities for people with you know, who are living on the streets and stuff like that. So I don't know if you need that, but at least it's... if all else fails, it's an option, you know?
Right.
All right, dude.
All right, thank you. I mean, any information or any help at all at this point from anywhere is deeply appreciated.
All right, man. Good luck, man. Save your own life. You can do it. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Let's see here. This is a interesting question. It's going to be a tough one to answer for you, Drew, but it is an interesting question nonetheless. Hello, Diego.
Hi, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Just a quick question. Just wondering, what is love addiction, and what are some signs that one may be a love addict?
Well, if you get involved with people very, very quickly, you sort of fall in love quickly, you have poor boundaries, you don't pay attention to red flags, if there are red flags out there for somebody, you idealize people, you have trouble getting out of relationships once you're in them. Those are some of the things.
Okay. It's just that... like a few weeks ago, well, it's like 3 months ago, I was seeing a girl. I saw her for like three weeks, five times during those 3 weeks, and I really liked her. And I may have in a really like pushed her away by she said that I made her feel a bit intimidated because one day I really wanted to see her and I kept on calling her and calling her, and the engineer responded, so I think I might ruin that. But and I believe it's happened to me before, and I was wondering where I can get help for that as well.
Where's he calling from?
He is calling from San Francisco.
Check out the website sash.org. They have resources sometimes there you can look into. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, dude.
Night.
I also wouldn't like I'm a big believer in love addiction, and I understand people can like really put themselves in a bad place because of it.
Yep. You know?
But how much of that, like all the kind of symptoms you named, isn't that a lot of just like
being an adolescent?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you know.
Yep. Most adolescents love that. And you know, if you want to hear a good story about love addiction, go read Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, okay.
That's how love addiction can be dangerous too.
I have a totally unrelated question, but it is a medical question that has been fascinating me,
okay.
And it really like blows my mind.
All right, go ahead.
How is it that only Black people can get sickle cell anemia? Like, how is that? How does human beings work that
genetics,
way?
Genetics, the gene.
But it's not like Black people are genetically different. Like,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it, I mean, in layman's terms, that makes it so?
It's a certain quality of the hemoglobin.
Really?
That causes it to sickle, to form these chains that cause the cell to deform.
And by virtue of being, like, of African descent somewhere down the line, you can just get that?
And the reason it developed is that people with sickle disease, and particularly more refined genetic forms of sickle disease, were resistant to malaria.
Oh,
so they survived better in Africa.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Is there anything like Northern Europeans get that
MS,
Black people can't?
MS. Or they can't?
Because white people can't get sickle cell, right?
They don't get it, no.
So is there anything that the tables are turned?
Yeah, sure, all kinds of things.
Oh, that's so crazy.
We're genetic. We're biological
beings. I know, but it's just like it's mind-blowing.
And we evolve in different regions, and those regions determine some of the conditions we develop.
But I thought that, you know, when you say like we evolved in different regions, I thought it like, yeah, well... you know, Middle Easterns have big calves and Asian people are shorter.
Those kinds of things too.
But I never thought, like, it's weird, like how disease can affect certain people just by...
Well, the disease...
kind of crazy.
The fundamentals or sort of the simplistic way of thinking about it is the disease may have had some function, just like...
Like in that part of the world and growing... Yeah.
Resistance to malaria.
Us humans, man. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
Loveline. Switch on, press talk button, and you broadcast. No wires needed, yet voices travel back and forth.
Hi, it's Heather McDonald. Please join me for my podcast, Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald, because you know how much I love a Juicy Scoop. Besides talking about the hottest topics that intrigue me, I am also going to have great guests join me. Shannon Bedore on The Real Housewives of OC, telling us everything about what is going on with her life, as well as hilarious Chris Frangiola, who is my coworker and good friend from Chelsea lately. So please join us.
Yay! Download a new episode every Thursday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
FIFA's under some heat because they are chauvinist.
Yeah,
I mean FIFA's mostly European people, and they're not fans of women, or at least the way that most American guys would think you should treat a woman.
Right.
But they're under some heat because they're doing this whole promo where they're saying Alex Morgan, U.S. soccer star, easy on the eyes.
Mm.
And my take is like feminists. I get it, and I want women to be treated with respect as much, if not more, than men. I'm with you. But I think that there's a problem in that feminists, if they are women, they don't get things that... You can't see the world through the prism of boner. Like, the truth is that Alex Morgan is way more important to the world than other female athletes because she's scorching hot. And there's no getting around that. Like, it's not chauvinistic. I don't think you understand what it's like to have a dick. Or, like, I'd love to hear from some lesbian girls. Like, you to when you're into chicks, it literally makes women who are attractive more important. Like, and not more
well, for
important.
Commercial
not
enterprise.
Not like their value, their life is more valuable than other women, but they're certainly more marketable.
Right.
Like, there's no way around it. Alex Morgan, I don't care if she's like a bench warmer. She's more important than other people when it comes to selling women soccer.
Yeah.
Because she's scorching hot. Right. You know, and it's like, I don't know how to be able to like navigate those waters without getting in the way of the feminist movement. You know what I'm saying? Is there a way to have both? We were having this argument with Eliza Schlesinger. It's like, you can't get mad at me for noticing that you have an insanely hot body and huge boobs and abs. Because it's just part of having a dick. I'm not saying it to say like, that's the only thing you're good for.
Or diminish somebody
but
else.
But it definitely makes you more interesting to me as a man. I can't get around that.
And so how can you have both what?
How can you encourage equal rights for women while also saying like, yes, look, girls that make more boners are going to get more attention. End of story. That's just science. That's just life. You know what I'm saying? Is there a way to just, can't we all agree that that's the way things are and give women equal rights?
Yes, but I think you don't want to diminish anybody, right?
I'm not saying a girl who's hotter should get a job that a girl who isn't should.
No, right. I understand.
But what I'm saying is like, you can't avoid the fact that forever, for the eternity of us humans on this earth, women in particular, even more so than guys, are just going to get more attention when they're hot.
I think what you do is you promote other women qualities that are attractive.
Sure.
And you really promote that.
Sure.
I don't think you diminish the reality of how men react.
Yeah.
Or make it any less, you can't make it any less commercially viable, but you make other things commercially viable.
Yeah. Yeah. Which makes sense, but it's just like, I feel like in the desire to do so, people are trying to create a false reality where it's like, oh, no, no, no. All other athletes are the same as Alex Morgan. It's like, not really. Like, there may be better soccer players. There may be as good as soccer players, but people are always going to pay more attention to her because she's like impossibly good looking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk to Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
So, 4 years ago, I was hospitalized, AKA put in like a nut house, a mental institution, as my dad likes to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was diagnosed as being bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm now fast forward for 4 years. This has happened to me a few times, and every single time that happens, they prescribe me all this crazy medication that I end up being forced to take while you're in there, because if you don't, they'll force it upon you. And so everything when you finally get out, you obviously are in your free will to take it, and every single time I end up taking it while I get out, it's very noticeable that I'm off. Like, I just feel slower, and everyone around me, my family members, can tell... you know, you're different. So I normally end up weaning myself off the stuff just because I was kind of did some of my own research and it wasn't good to apparently just stop taking this stuff.
What's the question?
My question is I don't take the stuff, and every single time I've been hospitalized, I was drinking heavily, so I'm curious: was it my drinking that has caused this? Or am I really bipolar, and do I need to be taking this medication?
We can't answer that, because we're not there examining you, but it's a really interesting question. Is there, I guess, one way to look at it is there alcoholism in your family?
Yes.
Yeah.
Both sides.
Have you had your alcoholism treated?
The last time I was hospitalized was within the last 8 months, and after that one, I just was like, okay, alcohol obviously does not agree with me, because every single time I was hospitalized, jail was normally a part of it as well.
Yeah. I understand. Have you had your alcoholism treated, though? Even though you're not drinking, have you actually been treated?
Now, what do you mean by treated?
Did you go to 12-step? Have you been involved with
any type of facility for it or anything like that?
I have not. Okay. I just kind of did it on my own.
So you might, if you're an alcoholic, you will drink again. And I don't know how many times it's going to take you going to jail and hospitals before you're willing to do something more definitive, but it takes what it takes. And I think it's an excellent question to be asking. Is it possibly the alcoholism presenting as bipolar? Because that happens.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Is that, and because I always felt like, and, you know, and I'm not like type of alcoholic where, like, you know, I'll drink like once a week, but I'll go crazy and black out. I'm the type of alcoholic where I'll drink every single day, but like, you know, 3 to 5 drinks. And I know that that's not healthy.
Right, so, but the point is, it's going to recur if you're really an alcoholic, and if you have this sort of a manic presentation with your alcoholism, that's pretty serious.
Yeah, and also, let's say, for argument's sake, you have both, your dual diagnosis, you're
right.
Bipolar and an alcoholic.
Right.
I've been told that.
They can't at all do anything for your bipolar until you're sober.
Yeah,
so it is definitely priority number one to get some long-term sobriety.
Especially you're motivated not to be on the meds and stuff, and that's the only way that's going to happen.
And I have to throw it out there as well, just to add another mix. I smoke pot every day. And
yeah, well, that's going to continue to be part of your...
Do you think that, I mean, I know that's part of my addiction for sure, but
right.
Obviously I think it is not as bad. Do you think
it isn't as bad. I mean, I'm going to be fully honest with you. It's not as bad if you have to pick one, but at the same time, it messes with your brain chemistry.
It might be the real kindling that's setting you up for the bigger problems. I mean, your alcoholism might not present as bipolar if you weren't doing two drugs. I don't know.
When you're measuring how bad a drug is versus others, it's not just the immediate side effects that you have to factor in. Something like marijuana to someone who's bipolar can be a disaster. You know, it can be a real disaster.
Yeah, I don't think in terms of what's better or worse or good or bad. Each has its own effect.
So just to end it quick, I know you guys have got to go. What do you think my best mode of action? Should I get on this? I mean, I don't want to say should I, because you guys can't answer that. I already answered.
If I were you, I would get actively involved in a recovery program.
Yeah, and I'd abstain from all mood-altering substances.
And if there's a chance of me becoming sober, let's just say, because obviously I'm not sober, I still smoke pot. Mm-hmm. If there's a chance of me ending the pot, ending the alcohol, do you think there's a chance that this, me going into these crazy episodes and getting myself locked up in institutions, will end? Or do you think that I'm going to be sober hanging out one day and it's going to happen again?
Really hard to predict because, we haven't seen one of these episodes. But based on what you're telling us, I think that's a real possibility.
A real possibility.
It certainly ups your chances if you're a betting man. You know. All right, man. Good luck. And remember, in this crazy mixed up world that makes you think that nobody cares, we do. Be good, people.
This has been Loveline.
The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station.
Loveline is produced by Ann Ingold.
Engineered by Anderson Cowan.
Loveline.
Game over, man. It's game over.
The ending just felt flat.
I do believe that is the end.
Stanley. Stanley. Stanley.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.